Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome for spending this time with us. I am so happy to come each day into your home, into your mind, and I just pray that our minds become one accord with God's. We like to start the day with a devotion, and today's devotion, taken from Sweet Tea for the Soul, is called The Hereafter, and it's spelled H-A-I-R, The Hereafter. And Isaiah 48 is our scripture. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Beauty parlors are tiled, floored social settings for southern ladies who favor high hair, hellacious amounts of hairspray, and beauticians that can count on a lifelong friend. Some beauticians style clients do from cradle to grave, making sure they look as good in the here and now as on their church send-off to the hereafter. But no matter how hard we try to avoid it, the day will come when gray hair will show up, cross its arms, and refuse to leave, and there won't be enough hair dye or nearly enough time to keep covering it. When the time comes to give up on the hair dye and highlights, get your style on, then lift your chin up, take a sip of your soda or that awful shoe leather coffee they serve in the beauty parlors, and make up your mind that gray hair doesn't matter. If you are blessed to live long enough, growing old is a part of life, and age is a badge of honor, not a condition to remedy or be ashamed of. In fact, the Bible says gray hair is a crown of glory gained by living a godly life, Proverbs 16:31. And our faith check today is, you can tease your hair as high as you want, but high hairdos won't bring you closer to God or heaven. Give God the glory for your crown of glory and rejoice in the beauty of your frosty season in life. And our quote is, gray hair is hereditary. We get it from our children. Don't you love that? Okay, well, we're going to take a moment to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for this show and the words spoken in it that they will be to your honor and glory. We pray for a young person who appears to have lost their way. Just send the Holy Spirit to guide them and to protect them. We pray for a new driver as they learn to drive, protect them on the highway, but most of all, help the experiences of learning to drive. Teach them more about you. And Lord, we pray for a young woman who once was a missionary but now doesn't believe in you and actually makes fun of those who do believe in you. We pray for her, Lord. You know who we're speaking of. And just come into her mind and connect again with her, Lord. We don't give up on her, and we give you permission in this world that Satan claims to reclaim her for your own. And Lord, I thank you for my uncle who has now been put into hospice. I thank you, Lord, because he's given his heart to Jesus. And I just praise you for that. I know he lived a life denying you. He'd been mistreated by Christians and felt like they were hypocrites. But now he knows you as his personal Savior, and we look forward to him being reunited with his family in heaven. Thank you for that. Lord, we praise you for the unending love that you have for each of us. We love you so much. We ask you to be with us this day. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Well, the second half of the show, we're going to follow up with Jeff and Barbara Zaremski. And we had talked to them in a previous show. They are the authors of the Shalom Adventure magazine, and their website is shalomadventure.com. There's great resources there if you're studying a little bit about Middle East history, or if you want to look at some things about archaeology. I highly recommend it for homeschooling families. So Jeff and Barbara Zaremski are interview for the second half of the show. Ta-da! It's our arts and crafts corner, and I'm going to talk about the shofar. It's an ancient musical horn, typically made out of ram's horns. So those songs like Joshua Blow Them Ram's Horn and The Walls Came A-Tumbling Down, it was the shofar. It's like a modern bugle in the fact that it doesn't have pitch altering devices. You have to totally do it by your embouchure. And it would be cool if you could pick one up. But for our art and craft corner, you can go to my Pinterest site and you can have the students make one out of paper and those little blowy things. It's kind of cool. I mean, it might drive you a little bit crazy, but I think it would be really cool to take those. It's a birthday thing that blows, and sometimes the paper goes out. Well, you take the device at the top and then you build a shofar from it. And I've got that on my Pinterest site. All of these crafts I try to put on my Pinterest site. So you can go there and really have some fun. They can learn about the shofar, what it stands for. I mean, nothing is as impactful as having a hands-on experience to tie in with a lesson, especially with younger children, but even older children. So when I sing the song, Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came a-tumbling down, I also remember that this is something that actually happened, that God took just sound and destroyed the walls of a huge city. So as you're doing your arts and crafts corner, you can remember and connect it to really important lessons for your young people. Welcome to Curriculum Corner. And in honor of the fact that we're interviewing Jeff and Barbara Zaremski, who are Messianic Jews, we're going to look at a Messianic homeschool curriculum called Restoring the Way Ministries. You can go to restoringtheway.org and /messianic-homeschool-curriculum. And I'm going to tell you some of the things I like about it. First of all, they do have weekly lessons, but they also have it pretty much spelled out. The subjects that they offer are Hebrew, Bible, handwriting, math, preschool, science, special needs, Minecraft fun, Parsha, reading, and health. And you can get some free downloads. The downloads, they just click there and you get free downloads. You also can get $1 Messianic Homeschool Curriculum downloads and $2 Messianic Homeschool Curriculum downloads. So there's so much resources for homeschoolers nowadays that there's no reason why you shouldn't have just a wonderful, rich educational experience for your children. I know that I would probably pick and choose from different ones as I saw what my family needed. But sometimes you just need a quick site to go to and get something. So restoringtheway.org is a Messianic homeschool curriculum site. Well, this question comes from Jessica. It says, I am curious. I want to get a laminator to do some learning activities for my son. Does anyone know if they wipe pretty well? And I'll tell you right now that I think they wipe wonderfully well. I use dry erase markers on lots of laminating sheets that I've made at school. The nice thing about it is I try to use green. Green is an easy color for even a dyslexic child to read, and it wipes up the best. So that's my recommendation. Also, I have one that is a Scotch brand. It takes a longer time to heat up. It's just a small page one. And then I have another little larger one that I bought recently at Staples, and it works even better. I do everything from little cards to bigger sheets of paper, plain white notebook paper, tablet writing paper, multiplication sheets. There's also another thing that you can think of, and I use regular pocket sleeves, but they don't last as long. But you can get Clipo dry erase pocket sleeves. I think also either you get them on Amazon.com. Clipo is spelled C-L-I-P-C-O. Clipo dry erase pocket sleeves. And another one said be sure that it's a laminator that heats, because it's hard to, if you get one that's supposed to work coolly, and I understand that too. They just don't work. They need to heat to be a truly laminating thing. And another word of caution is shiny surfaces don't help students who have learning disabilities. So I actually look for laminating material that is non-glare, and I look for sleeves that are non-glare, and that seems to help better. Look for paper that you can put in that's colored too. So there you have it for that one. And the second one we're going to talk about is art. So in art class for this particular family, they decided to do carving soap. And she went into a lot of detail when she wrote this about soap carving. And she also showed me a picture where everything had fallen apart or broken. All soap is not created equal. So for the years that I have been doing soap carving, please listen to this. You only get ivory soap, and you set it out and let it absorb the moisture from the air for a week or two, and then you start your soap carving. Most soap nowadays is so brittle that I wouldn't attempt to carve it. It would just break up and turn into little bits of shavings and create a lot of discouragement with your children. Also, you're using sharp tools. So we only do this with upper graders who have learned to not be quite as frustrated as lower grades. We don't do carving with sharp instruments at school, unfortunately. So there you have two ideas or two words of advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. And I hope you stay tuned for the second part of the show, which is going to be the rest of an interview that we had done previously with Jeff and Barbara Zaremski on their website, Shalom Adventure Magazine. We'll be right back. I am talking with Jeff and Barbara Zaremski, and they are sharing their ministry called Shalom Adventure. This is a free web magazine with lots of content, free content, articles, videos, etc. And Jeff, we promised our listeners that you would share your conversion story. So take it away.
Sure. In some ways, some overlapping. I also grew up a Jewish in duplex. My grandparents lived upstairs. So Jewish home, celebrating the holidays, Passover, Hanukkah. I went to public school, but I went to Hebrew school as well in preparation for bar mitzvah, my brother, and most of the people that I knew in public school were Jewish. There were Catholics in the neighborhood. They all went to the Catholic school, so it left the public school for the Jewish people. And so New York City also, well, yes, New York City, Queens, New York. And so when I was still young, my uncle, my mother's brother, moved out to California, and out in California, back during the hippie movement time, the people came to he was living in a treehouse on like a commune, and some of the people there started coming to the Lord, coming to Jesus, and so there was this Jesus movement going on at that time. He was skeptical and resistant, but he believed in peace and love, and everything's going to be great and harmony together, but he started to see that in that setting, it wasn't reality. It wasn't taking place. It wasn't happening. They were stealing from each other, and there were fights, and there was arguments, and even with the marijuana and the, you know, everything, the concept of peace without religion wasn't coming reality. And some people's lives that were going to these Jesus meetings were having their lives changed and reformed. And he was at one of the meetings, and And one of the worst guys in the commune gave his heart to the Lord. And it that really impacted my Uncle Michael. And he was going to go up and give a little talk. Or they were having testimony time, and he was going to go up there and talk. And he got up there, and he just started breaking down, crying. The Spirit of God just moved on his heart in a powerful way. So I didn't know that whole story till later on growing up. But one thing he did was he bought us some children's Bibles. And he sent it to us, and I remember the emotion in our family. You know, what's happened to Michael? He's become a sugar nut. He's crazy. He's losing it. It was bad. You know, it was one thing, okay, he's moving to California, becoming a hippie, living in a treehouse. That was okay. But now he's accepting Jesus as the Messiah, and now he's gone nuts. That was no good. So, but they weren't going to throw the Bible away. So they just put it on a shelf, and I'd read it. I'd look at the pictures, and a lot of pictures, all the pages, And that kind of just stirred something that lay dormant for a number of years. And then I was in college and basically got into atheism and studied biology and evolution and becoming a forest ranger in the forestry field, forest tech, and just didn't have a faith in God. And I was then living in Florida, and my mother was living down there also. My parents had gone through a divorce, and they became a custody situation between my parents over my younger brother. And so my mother drove up to New York for the court hearings, and each court hearing got delayed one after another, and she couldn't afford a hotel for ongoing time, and it was December, cold, and she's now staying in her car waiting for the next court hearing to come up. She couldn't afford to drive back down to Florida and then back up. So she's very depressed. She had been suicidal. She attempted suicide prior to that, and she was driving down the highway, the Long Island Expressway, and she saw a big, huge vehicle van pass her by, a 30-foot van drive past her. And on the back of it, it said Seventh-day Adventist Community Services. Now, she didn't know what Seventh-day Adventist was, but community services, so maybe they can help me out in some way. So she followed the van. It eventually pulled off the highway, eventually pulled into a parking lot, and all these people started coming off, piling out of it. And eventually the driver came out and she asked, you know, can someone here help me? And the person said, well, come on inside. Well, that community service center, they would use these vehicles, recreational vehicles, to drive into Manhattan and pick up homeless people and bring them back out to the shelter and held this winter party for them with food and testimonies and music and gifts, gloves, hats, scarves, teddy bears. That was their favorite. They loved teddy bears. And so that was their first day. They did it for 3 days in a row. That was their first day. And so she sat down. She's hearing these stories. She's with all these homeless people, and she's feeling homeless as well. So she's really connecting, you know, with them and listening to these stories. And so at the end, the homeless people get back on the vehicles and get taken back into the city. But she drove herself in, so she stayed and helped clean up, and they talked to her and ended up letting her stay there. So she went through all three of the holiday programs that winter and heard it over and over again, started Bible studies with them, accepted the Messiah. And so she calls us in Florida, tells us what's happening. I, like my uncle, was a hippie also, and so I was a vegetarian. And so she tells me, oh, these people let me stay with them and the community service center. That's nice. They've got good, healthy food. I thought, oh, that's nice. And they keep Sabbath, like grandma, that's nice. And they believe in Jesus. I said, that's not nice. This is weird. You know, that's no good. You know, so that's the line that you cross. So she started telling me about the Bible. And my grandmother and I, we went to the synagogue, asked them for a Bible. They didn't have any Bibles there. They got the Torah. They have some Haftorahs, the prayer books, but they didn't have any Bible. So we went to a Christian bookstore and asked them about Bibles. They showed us this version, this version, this version. I thought, I didn't know there's lots of different versions.
Yeah.
I just want the Bible. So we went back home a little discouraged, but then my grandmother remembered that Uncle Michael had sent her a Bible also years and years ago, so she got that out. So while my grandmother was very religious and very active in the synagogue, president of Hadassah and stuff like that, she's never read the Bible. And so I started reading through the Bible to prove my mom wrong and to then, you'll be done with it. It was just, I'm going to find the text that says Jesus is not the Messiah. I'll be done with it. Get back to my life. She can get back to her life. And I'm reading through for months and months and months and months, just from Genesis on. And my mom told me eventually she stayed in New York, got her own apartment. she told me, well, if you're going to be reading the Bible, you should pray. So I'm reading the Bible. I was working about 60 hours a week. I was going to school, full 12-hour credits. And one time I fell asleep in the middle of a test. I was so tired from that schedule. But I had to read the Bible to help my mom. Then I got to have some time, so I'll do it before I go to work, and I'll do it before I go to bed. So I had this morning and evening reading prayer time, worship time. And God was moving upon my heart in doing that. And it went from just to prove my mom wrong to, hey, this is, God is real. So I went from being an atheist to believing in God. And the more I read, the more God became real to me. He began transforming my life and changing my life. And so I was all the way up to Isaiah. I had finished my courses in Florida. I'd saved up enough money, and I was going to transfer to New York, upstate New York, to forestry college. And drove through New York, stopped by to visit my fiance for 2 weeks. She introduced me to her new boyfriend, and so I'm out. And so now I'm homeless. And so my mom takes me to the community service center. And they were having their staff meeting where they all met together and shared testimonies of how they ministered and what happened in their week of work. And so as it went around the room, came around to my turn to share. And so I said, well, I've been reading through the Bible. See if Jesus is the Messiah or not. And that's where I'm at. And I'm up to the book of Isaiah. And so there was a Jewish man working there, a Jewish believer working there. And he showed me, he took me to Isaiah 53, a very powerful chapter, aptly describes the Messiah and really if it's no one else other than Jesus. And Daniel 9 prophecy that gives the timeline of when the Messiah would come, when he'd be immersed, when he'd be cut off, when he would be killed. And that was, by that point, I went from needing the text to prove him wrong to needing the text to prove him right. Because I just saw it was so powerful in people's lives, my mom's life, and what God was doing in my life. I remember driving past a billboard just prior to that, pulling off on the side of the road, banging on the steering wheel. It said, Jesus is the Lord. And I said, God, I need to know if that's true or not. If it's not, I need to know. And if it's true, I need to know. And so he shared me, and I accepted Jesus as my Messiah. We call him Yeshua. That's what he was called. That's what his parents called him. That's what everyone called him, Yeshua. And they let me stay there for the 2 weeks. And I was working with them, going into New York City, sharing food with the homeless, packaged lunches and soup, and go into the city and share the lunches with them. And I'd been carrying this Bible around, pretty big-sized Bible, everywhere I went. Well, they had a box full of literature and Bibles. And it was a nice little pocket Bible. Nice zipper on it, but that's the greatest thing. I can now easily take it with me everywhere. So I had one of those. Well, then a few days later, we're out in the city again sharing food, had the box out, all the food's gone, and someone comes up and wants a Bible. So I say, sure, we go to the box, and all the Bibles are gone too. All the lunches are gone. I gave him my lunch. That was no problem. But then when he wanted a Bible, and there were no Bibles, and I had to give him my Bible, that was tough. But I said, you better read this.
Yes, if I'm going to sacrifice it, you better read it. Well, you know, we've come to the end of our show, and I'm sure our listeners are going to be dying to go to your website.
Yeah, there are testimonies on there, lots of testimonies of lots of people who had similar experience.
And I hope you even share the end of your story.
It is on there. There's Bible studies on there.
That's where you need to go to hear the rest of the story.
We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.